All right, I want to tell you about Brain FM. Some days, our focus is stretched thin. Different sources of stimulation regularly wear on our attention. Working from home can obviously exacerbate these issues. At best, curated playlists can be a crapshoot. Whether they'll actually push you to be more productive, who knows? This is why we use Brain FM. These guys have neural phase locking audio technology and fire soundtracks that shift your neurons into focus mode. Visit brainfm.com. That's www.brainfm.com. Use the promo code DIRECTIMPACT for great discounts. That's Direct Impact with no spaces. Now, visit the link in our show notes. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Andrea Epstein, and you're listening to the Direct Impact Podcast, and we've got some guests. We've got Mary and Gregory, who have been on the show several times, both amazing clinicians and ready to bring their brilliance and their personalities to our audience. So today, what are we talking about, guys?
So today, we're talking decisions, decisions, decisions. So in order to understand how we got somewhere, we must understand where it came from. So both the personal influence and maybe even cultural or familial influence. So who wants to start?
So decision making for me is, I'd say, difficult in many ways, just because, one, I'm a people pleaser by nature. So even like, I'll say, like making a decision where to go for my birthday that's coming up, I'm thinking about other people, even though I know what I want to do, but I'm like, okay, is it going to affect them this way, that way? And sometimes I need that verbal processing to help like calm me down. Like, it's okay. Just make the decision. We'll be fine. But I also think part of that people pleasing comes from the motivation of like sometimes a lack of motivation too, or rejection sensitivity. I may not have an actual ADHD, you know, diagnosis, but I do see lots of traits with neurodiversity. And I know my lack of motivation sometimes affects me with big decision making. And there's that resistance and avoidance. And it sucks a lot of the times, because even simple things like when to do chores or when to wake up, it feels like I'm making such a big effort just to make that one big step. And then all my energy's gone for the rest of the day or the next thing I have to do. So decisions are hard, really hard.
And they do take a great deal of energy,
yeah,
mental and emotional energy. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it on the podcast in the past, but it's like, if you think about how many decisions you're making just from the time mm-hmm. you step into the shower and then you step out of the shower, do I wash my hair first? Do I use conditioner? Which yeah. soap do I want to use? Mm-hmm. What parts of my body am I going to wash? I mean, like, all the executive functioning that goes into decision making. I mean, you mentioned like neurodiversity. Mm-hmm. And neurodifferent people, it does take more energy to organize mm-hmm. that process.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely say that, like, especially with my neurodivergent clients, I relate to them in so many ways, but especially like that decision making, because it feels like you're kind of like at a tug of war of yourself, at least for me, of like, this is what I want to do, but I'm afraid of what somebody else will think, or if I say the wrong, like, I want to make sure I say the right thing or do the right thing in especially a group activity or like socializing, because you're afraid of, okay, what are they going to think of me? And I think that affects a lot of people. I'd say, like I said, myself included, that we can't be our authentic self sometimes, because it's almost like we're curating ourselves for what the other person wants. And so that affects our decision of like being true to ourselves and our needs.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Where does that filter come in to play the most for you?
I think a lot of it, like, I think just growing up, like maybe culturally, maybe just where, like, I don't know, I'm thinking like teenage years, especially, like, you know, being seen that way, like that's a pivotal moment for a lot of us growing up. Like we want to be seen and heard in a certain way, accepted in so many ways. But I think culturally too plays, like when I say people pleasing, I think community wise, like my culture is very community based. We think of family, we think of all these other people. And even I'd say religiously too, that plays a big factor in a lot of us, or spiritually, that we are not allowed to be selfish in our decision making. We have to think of others. It's beautiful, but like I feel like it takes away from ourselves, that we can't enjoy what we are deciding for or make it our own, you know, thing. Because I will say, like coming from a Filipino perspective, sometimes those decisions are kind of making for yourself, like career-wise, a lot. Like you are destined to be XYZ, and if you deviate from that, it affects you in some way because you know, like your parents wanted you to do this, so you kind of balance like their wants to your wants, and sometimes that there's a discord in that.
Sometimes I feel like people pleasing is almost like too broad of an
Yeah.
umbrella. Like I don't even know what I would try to say if I was trying to be more specific with it, but because it does result in people pleasing, but it's like not a little bit different than
Yeah, because I think it, we want to be giving and caring and generous and
Yeah.
compassionate and loving. But I also like truly believe that when you're first considering your authentic self and your own personal integrity, like that's when that feels like really good and you get all of the benefits of those things. So like if you're not considering self first, then it becomes people pleasing, which means you're sacrificing self. And that's just really scary and unhealthy. And then you are not like happy about it or pleased or fed by it, but you're resentful, you know, because it's not, you know, it's not healthy. And so, like, to me, that's when it like crosses that line to people pleasing. It's like, are you feeling the no inside, saying yes, sacrificing self, and then building resentments? It's like, okay, well, then we're people pleasing now. Yeah. I mean, that's my personal perspective.
So what about you? What goes into your decision making? How do you come to a decision?
Okay, so my personality is extremely different. And I know that personality is birthed out of childhood and parenting and messages received and all of that. I feel like in some ways, my family of origin, you know, had emotional needs that were met by me. And my personality type is like, I've already got the decision made. Like, you ask it, you get it. And my personality is also like, ready, fire, aim. I believe in failing forward. I believe in failing fast. I'm fine making the wrong decision and then pivoting later. So, yeah, and then like from a cultural perspective, I'm half Greek, half Italian, and my heritage is really just like a lot of extremely, you know, nurturing, caring, compassionate, but passionate, strong women. And so they've got the answers, you know, the women, they've got the answers. And I love it in my big fat Greek wedding, the first one, where she says, you know, men are the head of the house and the women are the neck. And the woman gets to turn the head however she wants. So basically, just let them pretend that it was their idea and you just influence it from the background. But like the decisions are being made by the women. And that's just kind of like how I grew up. So decisions weren't scary for me. And I think that word is huge, is because if it's not scary, there's not fear that's going to influence or delay that process too much. And it's not that I don't have some people pleasing tendencies, because I do. I'm an Enneagram 8, so the decisions are going to come quick, they're going to come fast, and then I'm going to pivot. But I also have a 9 wing that makes me really want, especially if I'm unsure or if there's not confidence or competence behind it, I'm going to really want to know how it's going to impact others. So there is that part of me as well that can go more to where you were talking about, Mary, that piece that's like, well, I want to be considerate of others and how it's going to impact them. But it's not the first thought. It's not the first thought. It comes into it, especially when I'm like, I don't really feel competent here. Then I'm going to lean into that. But otherwise, yeah, it's not my first thought.
All right, guys, life can get hectic really fast. It feels like there's no time and we're always on the go. When you get overwhelmed with life's daily tasks, responsibilities, and unexpected challenges, important things like our health tend to fall to the wayside. Well, my friend, Healthy Cell is here to make taking care of yourself a priority. Healthy Cell makes getting back in the driver's seat much easier. They have an innovative approach to the pill format by using this awesome gel. This vitamin-packed, nutrient-dense gel can be taken by itself, mixed in your drink, or blended with your morning smoothie. Healthy Cell offers supplement packs to enhance your performance, focus, and well-being. Take control of your mental, physical, and physiological health with Healthy Cell. If this is something that you've been thinking about implementing, tap this episode, scroll to our show notes, and click the link for significant savings today. All right, click that link to support your health and our mission today. Now, enjoy the rest of the show.
I think it's funny because, like, I think about, like, what you're saying, like, there, I hear confidence in the decision-making process. Well, for me, it's, I kind of reflect really quickly and, like, there is some confidence in some of my decisions, but then there's that hesitancy of, like, is this the right one to make? Mm-hmm. You know, do I really want to do this? Is this what I should be doing? Or is this important? How's it going to affect me, like, later? And I've tried to stop myself, essentially, to say, just do it. Just make it. It's okay. Just live in the moment. It's fine. Like, even simple things of like, where should I eat today just to treat myself? The spiral, the loop is like, well, do we really need to spend money? Is that really what you want to eat today? Is that your favorite thing? Are we craving that? And then it gets to a point where I'm like halfway home, won't even do it, you know?
But do you see how you started with a good intention?
Yeah.
And then like the brain got involved and the outcome was not a good one.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? And I feel like we all tend to do that. So like the intention is to treat myself.
Right.
And then when my brain got involved, you know, all that went to the wayside. And so like I really, you know, and just my personal life and then also just in my work, I'm like, well, let's just focus on the intention. What's the intention? And what is like that deeper level desire? And if that's good and that feels right in your body, mind, and spirit, like move into it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. That's fine. You can always make changes. I don't believe really in bad decisions. Yes, there's negative outcome. Okay, fine. Like there's negative outcome. There's unwanted outcomes, but doesn't mean that it wasn't right at the time with the information you had. If people really get paralyzed in that decision part, because it's like, well, what if the outcome's bad? And what does that say about me? It says nothing about you. It just says that you needed to collect more data and change your mind. And I know that certain personality types really struggle with that concept of, I changed my mind. You know, like, you know, I went into it with good intentions and, you know, it just didn't work out.
I kind of knew where that was from in the sense of, I think it's either Taoist or Buddhist, but I'm leaning towards Taoist, which is, it's not a bad or good outcome. It's just the outcome and how you react to it.
That's right. And when people then reflect it back on them, well, what does it say about me that the outcome was bad? That can be like a real spiraling type of thing. And then you've got all those negative core beliefs and limiting beliefs that come into play. And it's like, it says nothing about you. It says you had good intentions. You know, it felt like it was aligned at the time. You moved into it and the outcomes kind of like went wonky. Okay, pivot. It doesn't say anything about you as a person. But I think like when those limiting beliefs get involved, it's like, see, I told you, you can't make good decisions. You're not good enough. You don't deserve good things, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, ah, like I get then why you don't want to make more decisions.
It's funny. Yeah. I also think like when you say nervous system making decisions, like there's a training I went to that was doing like somatic work and attachment theory together. And when we got down to, I think it was like, is it disorganized that that it's like where if the caretaker doesn't respond a lot, the presenter talked about like the unwinnable situations, like where, oh, mom or dad says clean your room if you, for you to go to the activity you want to go to, but then they start nitpicking, and then it's like, well, you didn't do this right, and so that unwinnable situation like makes that person who has that attachment style unable to trust themselves in their own decision making. And like the examples they give are like even simple like that. What do you want to eat? What would you like to do later this afternoon? They're like, I don't know, just make the decision for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so sad because I'm like, you have a say in this, but it's been brought up that you can't trust yourself to make the right decision.
And in that scenario, the message is being constantly sent is, even if you make a decision, it's not a good enough decision, right, or it's not the right decision, or it's not going to earn you the outcomes that you're looking for. And if like that's happening over and over, you know, of course, decisions are going to be scary, and our nervous system's going to get dysregulated. And when our nervous system's dysregulated, then guess what? Our frontal lobe goes offline, and you can't make good decisions. So it's like, I think a lot of people are making decisions when they're dysregulated, and then they're beating themselves up over them not being good decisions. So like, I think that's a problematic cycle.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what are we doing to get still, to be clear, to get grounded, so that when you step into a decision, you know that it came from that place of like good intention and wise mind. I mean, I was talking to a client about the other day, and when we were doing EMDR, one of the things that came up, brains are just so freaking amazing, was I think I need to be still. I think I need to be still before I move into decisions. Cause one of her negative core beliefs is like, I don't make good decisions. And what came up was like, actually, like I do, I make some freaking amazing decisions, but sometimes I make them on the fly when I'm scared.
I'm kind of thinking of that too. Like, I watch one of my favorite shows is SVU. And there's an episode with Olivia Benson where she, I think she just turned sergeant or lieutenant, and her boyfriend at the time was like asking dinner. Like, do you want this place, that place, white rice, brown rice, chicken, beef, whatever. And she's like, let's make a decision. And I like related to her on so many levels because I feel like a lot of us, like when we talk dysregulation, I think too, like at the end of our days, especially all three of us who are clinicians, we are tapped out mentally and emotionally. And we just want somebody to make that decision for us because there's nothing else we can give. There's no more energy in that way. At least from my perspective, that can be for me that I just need somebody to do it for me because I can't give anymore.
And sometimes oftentimes I need my decisions to be limited. So like, I mean, you know me, you do a lot of work with me and for me, and it's like, give me three choices. Of course, I can make a really wise decision when it comes from a place that's already been minimized and I'm grounded in that. But I love that you brought up the menu because we talk all the time about being triggered, being dysregulated, out of our window of tolerance. And when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, well, you get to a restaurant, you're freaking hungry and drooling by the time you're looking at that menu. And so what my mind does is I scroll real quick, find one thing, and I go for it. Because I know that if I get in the weeds when I'm dysregulated, then I can't make up my mind.
Yeah.
Everything sounds good. So it's like, let me just, I'm going to find one thing and go for it.
Yeah, no.
That's why the other night we were out, she said the special, and I was like, done. special, you're putting time and energy into that. I'm going with the special.
No, and it's funny because like even like neurodivergent, like people I'm learning too, like they also, again, I fall into that category of like, when it comes to eating, we push it to the limit to where we're very hungry. And it's like, when we do start to go eat, nothing seems good because we're looking, it's past the point, or our brains are looking for that certain like dopamine food. And so here we are stuck in being hungry, and we'll search back and forth to the kitchen to see like, okay, has it changed? It hasn't, but we're hoping it changes.
I'm going to open the fridge and this time, miraculously,
a sandwich is going to appear that it wasn't there.
The perfect sandwich. Yes. That's great. That's great.
When it comes to that dysregulation piece you're talking about, it reminds me of the cultural influence. It's more of an aspiration than what I'm able to do all the time, which I credit my dad to this. He's he grew up working on a farm, and then he got into the mining industry, family mining industry. So the things that come to my mind in decision-making and I aspire to is straightforward, simplified, and with some empathy.
Sounds a little bit like what our journal helps people work through.
Yeah.
Talk about like simplifying it, making it so freaking easy that you can't not do the next right thing, you know? And then that straightforward piece is like, I'm coming back to the same thing every day. And there's like a big why behind it. So it's clear, it's concrete, you know, it's accessible. It's all of those things, which allows for you to stand behind a decision. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's excellent.
Yeah,
I think that's excellent. And I was thinking about it, since I know like this season is about a healthy journaling practice and the benefits of a journaling practice, and really getting into the weeds of our journal, the Plan to Recover mini journal for recovery and self-discovery. And So when we were going through this, I was like, I'm just going to turn to like one of the days in the journal, and every day we have prompts. And I was like, so if I'm struggling with a decision, how does this journal actually help me process and maybe come to a wise-minded decision and moving forward to implement that? And so I was just going down to pull out my journal. And so just looking at like, so how did I feel today? All right. I felt a little anxious. I felt a little overwhelmed. I felt triggered. I felt threatened. So basically my nervous system is somewhat dysregulated. And you kind of come to the why of that. And well, it's because the struggle is being asked to make a decision about something that has life-changing like ramifications potentially. And so it gives you this opportunity to walk through. It's like, okay, well then offer yourself some self-compassion first and then we'll get started. So the self-compassion really comes in. It's like, what's my intention? Who am I? What is my why? You know? And so you can come back to that and give yourself a lot of grace and say, you know what? You are well equipped to make this decision. You do have good data and information to go off of. You know, let's move into that. And then it says, well, how do I want to feel tomorrow? Well, tomorrow I'd like to feel at peace. I'd like to feel gratified. I'd like to feel self-assured in making this decision. So you have an opportunity then to be like, here's my notes to future self. So you can sit in that wise-minded decision. And then you go into the desired outcome. Okay, so this is the outcome that I desire and how I would achieve that outcome. And then you just take a moment to pause and imagine that. Imagine living that out, what it would look like to have that challenging conversation or discussion, or, you know, if you're being asked to be like assertive or set a boundary or something, you can imagine that happening. And then you give yourself an opportunity. It's like, after tomorrow, after I do that scary thing, knowing that I have really good intentions and I'm very grounded in my decision, like, how do I reward myself? Do I go out to eat? What do I do? But it just gives you an opportunity. I know that's just one day, and not every day do we have to make big decisions. But if you're engaging in a daily journaling practice, it really can help you when you're trying to figure out this thing called life, where we're asked to make thousands of decisions every day, some of them life-changing, but every single one of them important. So just a thought.
Yeah, just a thought there. Yeah.
Just pull out the journal. Hey, you can engage in this. It'll help with your decision making.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epstein.
Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today.
Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles
and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. EyeBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great. EyeBuyDirect has you covered too with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style. Do you like premium brands? I do. EyeBuyDirect carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the EyeBuyDirect link in our show notes and get affordable custom eyewear today.
Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.